Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode. And today we are so excited because we are going to wrap up the Gossamer Fall series with the final book, Last to Fall. But before we get into that, of course, we have to do our reading question. So, coffee or tea while reading romance? And then, you know, be honest, like, does it go cold? Because you're so into the book that you forget to drink.
Tea.
Tea? Do you have a favorite tea?
Ooh, yes. Blueberry sage. Oh, it's really good. I'll bring you some.
Yeah, I would love to try that.
And it definitely goes cold. That's why I stick with tea, because coffee, like, you gotta have coffee hot. So
yeah, that's true.
Well, I don't drink coffee, but I like iced tea, unsweet iced tea, just plain or with lemon.
Ooh, with lemon is really good. Mm-hmm. Jessica is our solid plain Jane, and we love her. Mm-hmm. I do both. Mm-hmm. I do both, but I agree. Coffee's not good cold. I can't even stand an iced coffee. Like, have you tried an iced coffee?
I have. I'll drink it cold, but it's like that lukewarm middle. Mm-hmm. That's like if you have it hot, it's got to stay hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And tea, I'll drink just about any tea except sweet tea.
Mm-mm. I went through McDonald's, and they gave me sweet tea, and I was in an admin meeting. Oh, and I stuck the straw in and took a drink, and they were all like, "Are you okay?" I said, "That was sweet tea. That's disgusting."
It is.
When it's like
you're
syrup.
Expecting unsweet, and yeah, it was sweet.
It's like when you think it's Coke, but it's tea.
Yeah.
I like tea, but if I'm expecting Coke, it's like blah.
Yes. Yes.
I tried sweet tea when we were kids because everybody's talking about it. So I made tea at home and I put sugar in it, and that first swig I was like, this is disgusting. I dumped it all out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. So it's kind of funny. So people who like sweet tea say that unsweet is bitter. I say that sweet tea is bitter.
It's just
I don't like it.
I think I'm just confused. I like them both.
You like
both? I like sweet tea, but it can't be super sweet. But I prefer unsweet tea.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know.
I think it depends on how much sugar too. It's like no offense, McDonald's, but that's like syrup.
Yeah, they're like southern sweet tea, yeah. And I was like, ugh, yeah,
which is fine, but
it's not my cup of tea.
We're not. That's not our cup of tea. That's
we're from
right.
the north. We like it.
That's
unsweet.
Right. We are Yankees for sure. I'm on that.
Yes.
All right. Now that we've talked about all things sweet tea and unsweet tea. We are going to hop into the book Last to Fall by Lynn Blackburn. And I'm so excited because we did the first two books in this series, I believe, like last year.
I think
it was last year. I'll link those episodes into the blog post of this episode, too. So anybody who missed those can go back and watch those. But we just wanted to get to this book so bad because we wanted to know about Mo and they call her Beep, but her name is it Bronwyn? Is that how you guys said it?
Yeah.
Bronwyn, something like that. It's
It was worth the wait, I think. So let me give you a little snippet from the back cover here. She's caught in a deadly game. He's the only one who can help her win. Bronwyn Pierce has poured everything into the Haven, her family's exclusive mountain resort in Gossamer Falls. But when financial discrepancies surface and the numbers suggest something far darker than simple mismanagement, she's forced to call on the one person with the skills to help her, Mo Quinn, a former Army intelligence officer, her first love, and the last person she ever wanted to trust again. Mo has spent years avoiding the woman he once loved and the secrets that tore them apart. But when Bronwyn calls, he can't walk away, especially when it's clear someone wants her gone for good. As they dig deeper into the treacherous motives behind a blackmail scheme, their proximity reignites long-buried feelings neither of them are ready to face. And when the evidence points to an unexpected culprit, Mo faces an impossible choice: trust the proof in front of him or trust his heart. With danger closing in and no one else to turn to, Bronwyn must break years of silence with Mo to uncover who's trying to destroy the Haven. They'll have to risk everything, including their hearts, to expose the truth before it's too late. Okay, you see I had lots of tabs in there while I was reading too. Lots of good stuff in this one. And it wraps the series up because, like, the whole time during this series, you're questioning, like, what went down between those two because they won't talk to each other. But then everyone's like, but they love each other. It's so, thought she did a really good job. And she did some back and forth, like, back when they were kids.
Yes. Yeah, like in the first half of the book. Yeah.
She did some flashback stuff.
Which was great because it gave you some background.
It did.
Yeah, that you needed.
Which was really helpful. Because really, when you're starting this, when you're starting a book with a couple that's technically already in love, they're just re-falling back in love. Would that be a good way to put it? All right. So, which character did you love the most and why?
That was a tough one for me. I loved Mo. It seemed like he should be grumpy, but he was just so loving with his family and just adorable. But Meredith Sass was my favorite, I think. She won my heart.
Yeah, she is a sassy one for sure. What about you, Jessica?
Well, I didn't really have an answer to this one, but I thought Bronwyn. Because everything she's been through. And, you know, I mean, her family, you know, all that. I mean,
that's true. I didn't think about it. She has overcome quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I can't, we'll talk about the family piece in just a minute. But my favorite, I am so sorry, guys. My favorite was Mo, because he's like that solid, quiet, nurturing and protective. Like, he's just a lot wrapped into one. Like, there's more to him than what, because he is very standoffish. And the way she describes him is, like, if you were to look at him, you'd probably be like, oh, don't go near that guy, right? Like, he's a big guy and has one of those, like, faces, I
guess. But he's so good with, like, Eliza. And
good with the little ones.
Yeah.
Okay, not gonna lie. Mo almost had me, like, thinking about your guys' dad. I don't know why, because even at, like, when we work together, just the...
Yeah.
When you first see him, you'd think he'd be, like, the stern, grumpy, like... But he's the biggest teddy bear.
Yeah, he is.
Random thought, but yeah.
Yes.
I never thought about that, but yeah, that's true. Between Dad and Uncle Steve, most people, when they look at him, are like, oh... You know, if you don't know them,
kind of like
think,
biker dudes.
Yeah.
Like, and but they're big teddy bears.
They
but you're kind of like
big teddy bears. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Nicest people you'll ever meet, probably. But I loved actually watching Mo grow, too. Like, he came out of his shell from the first book. I am really sorry.
'Tis the season.
I know. From the first book till now. But I totally fell in love with him because I think he is just. He's got the brawn, the brain, and the soft, squishy side as well. He is so sweet with the little kid.
Yes.
And remember how he was so upset when it was Eliza, right? Was scared of him at first when she first met him, like back in book one. Because remember, he was like, he had his hair real shaggy and he had a really big beard. And then he hated that she was afraid of him. So he cut his hair and shaved his beard and
And then she draws him pictures now, and he has her pictures up on his fridge.
And talking about, like, you know, they have those three little houses. Yeah. And in the book, and they're like, Meredith's like, no, you need to stay in my house because Mo has a twin bed and a couch that even Eliza couldn't fit on. Like, and one chair. Like, he's very
minimalistic. Yeah.
Like, not much.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about, Jessica, you kind of started on this a little bit, the differences between Mo's family and Bronwyn's family.
Bronwyn's family, when I was reading, like when they took you back to the past, it was all about them. They didn't really care about her. They didn't spend any time with her. Like when they wanted to ship her off to that finishing school, they didn't care. We've already paid for it. You're going. Like, and it was always like, well, you got 5 minutes. We have to go. We have to go. It was like,
there's no kindness or love. No. It was impersonal. Even like in towards the beginning, she, I think it's her grandmother she's talking to, and it's like, oh, kindness. Like, she makes a comment about how, well, the world doesn't run on kindness. Like, it's just this selfish, evil feeling.
It was a lot of like also like the rules of this is how you. There's just so many rules. This is how you behave. This is
surface level. Like, look right and get what you want, but don't care about anyone.
Whereas Mo's family is complete opposite.
I loved his family.
They're so warm and so loving. They take everybody in. And they get to, they have all these get togethers all the time, and they're just loving on each other all the time. And like, even to have a hug.
Yeah.
Kind of throws Bronwyn.
Yeah, yeah. And I could see that being like, I don't know what to do with this.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just, they were complete opposites, and I just loved the differences between there and then watching these two, because also they come from rival families.
That's so, the part I loved, because even being rivals, you see how, again, like Bronwyn's family, it's all surface level, how it looks, and, you know, you can't associate with the wrong people. But then Mo's family, the way that they don't even care. They just bring her in. They love her. She's family, period.
And there's a line later on we'll talk about that kind of shows, I think, shows that as well. All right. I think that their love story is tragic. Especially, but it has that happily ever after ending. Don't worry for anyone who hasn't read it yet. But if you were Bronwyn, would you have taken off like she did? And then in response to that, if you were Mo, would you have lashed out like he did? You don't have to give specifics. I'm just curious. Like, yes or no, would you take it off like she did?
Possibly. I don't know. I think possibly. I mean,
but possibly, because I really wish she would have told Mo the truth. But I think she felt like she had no other choice and trusted that guy.
Yeah.
It was a way out.
It was a way out. Yeah. And she didn't want Mo to give up what he was doing or whatever. His dream for her. So,
but the relationship, it just, why didn't you tell him? Because you can't really blame him. But at the same time, it's like, you could hear her out, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think I would have had the guts to do what she did, to be honest. I would have been the chicken that would have told him and then said, can we work together to figure something out? I don't know. Maybe that's selfish of me, but I think what she did was scary. But what about Mo? Like, Mo's reaction to her when she, forgot about my clock over there. when she tries to come back at one point. So they have this one interaction before then they are splitting again. Would you have, if you were in his shoes, would you have lashed out like he did?
I mean, I would have been pretty upset because she had plenty of opportunity. Like, he's, you know, like you said, I wish he would have listened to her more, like tried to really listen. But I understand why he was mad.
Yeah.
You know, he came back and she's gone. Nothing.
Yeah.
When they grew up since kindergarten, like that relationship was well established for her to just go and not say anything. I mean, that would cut really deep. Like, so, you don't blame him.
I don't blame him. I'm just trying to think, like, if I were in his shoes.
I probably would. I would probably do the same thing because I can be sassy, I'm sure. Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've been friends for so long. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You could have told me.
Yeah. But I probably would have lashed out, but I may have given her the opportunity to explain. Because
yes.
I think the way she started curling in and crying would have made me go, all right.
Like, wait a minute, something.
Right, tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mm-hmm. would have wanted to know. But he was like, no way. Okay, but then to top that off, would you have held out as long as Bronwyn did to make amends with Mo?
No way.
Because remember, he did one final letter to her
mm-hmm.
and just said, whenever you're ready, basically. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
He definitely put it in her hands.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have waited so long?
No way. I don't see how you could.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
This is like that history piece. I mean, I understand it was a big thing, but they'd faced other things with the family before. Like, it wasn't a secret how the family was. So yeah. Why let something like that? It's tragic.
And she did it because she was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would have. The problem for me, I couldn't have gone that long because it was just like festers. And it would, like, gnaw on my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just couldn't take it anymore. I'd have to just say.
And the whole awkwardness from book one. Like, the whole awkwardness of them getting together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, either I try and make amends or I'm not coming around anymore because this is awkward.
It is awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But as they have to start talking to each other. But they still are interacting a little bit more, but they're still using somebody in between, basically, to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking directly. It's like I want to talk to Jessica, but I'm going to talk
to you.
Jamie. Uh-huh. And Jessica just is sitting here, so she's going to hear it. But it's really for her, but I'm going to tell Jamie. Like, that's how their conversations work.
Yeah. It's almost like we say, it's so many books. It's like, will you just talk already?
But there are... There are times when we all do something like that. We may not go for as long as they did, but where mm-hmm. we're like, I really just don't even want to confront or talk to them. And so you do this whole avoidance thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're at the coffee shop. I think it's Meredith with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how did you react to Mo remembering her coffee order?
Oh, it melted me. Like, after that long, it's like, yeah, you love her.
Yeah. Did you have a reaction to that scene?
I don't drink coffee, so I was like, I mean, I was glad.
Okay. Well, don't worry about the fact you don't drink coffee.
I mean, to
the
me,
fact
it's
that
like
he remembered something she liked.
Well, I was surprised
detail.
He remembered. Like, I was kind of like, wow. He did. I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
You know,
I just fell in love with him more because it actually reminded me of Derek because he is so good. I don't know about remembering all those little things that. I mm-hmm. like, and it makes me feel like a terrible wife because I'm not that great at that. Okay. So, Derek, I know you're listening because you edit these videos and the audio for us. So, I'm sorry. I will try to do better. But it did make me think of him because he's always like, well, I remembered. Or, well, when we were out, you said you'd like to have that. So then I get it. He'll get it for me later on. And I'm like, okay, he says he wants things all the time, but I don't store it in my memory, which is terrible.
Start writing it down secretly.
I know.
Like,
at one point, like at Lowe's, I'll be like, I'm not going to remember that tool. So I like secretly like snapped a photo of it on my phone. So I knew to go back for it. But I was like, that's the only way I could do it. I don't know. Must be something a guy does when he's in love. Since we just celebrated 21 years together of marriage anniversary. Sorry, I should say. Get that out right. We've been married 21 years. So he still remembers all those little things. So anyways, you can cut all that out too, Derek, if you'd like. I got to rambling. Okay. So then there's this one, like, I think it's their first kiss, actually, if I'm remembering mm-hmm. right. And I'm just going to read the little bit from the book. It says, when he finally let her come up for air, he murmured against her lips, "You're mine. You've always been mine. I won't forget. Never again." How did you react to his statement? And how would you rate it on the swoonometer? Scale of 1 to 10 on the swoonometer, okay? With 1 being like, and 10 being like, woo, woo.
I'm not going to lie. I was giddy. I would say 10 out of 10. It was just like, yes, yes, finally. And it's just the way he says it. Like, yes. You know, he knows that he loves her. He knows she loves him. It's like, no. Like,
no more of this.
No more of this. You are mine. And it's just like.
I love being claimed.
Yes.
Don't you just love being claimed?
Oh, it's loving. It makes you feel special, important, mm-hmm. worthy. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I gave it a 10 as well on the swoonometer. Because I wrote, like, I just fell in love with Mo even more. I was like, oh. Mm. All right. What about you, Jessica? You don't like the swoony stuff.
I'm like one or two. I mean, I'll be honest. I was reading that. I read that question before I got to it. And I'm like, I think that's coming up soon. I read it and I was really tired. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Well, not for me. It was not much of anything.
This is why we have diversity.
I know, because Jessica's take on the romance is always so different from ours.
I mean, I wasn't like, whoa. You know, I mean, I don't know. That was just me. I'm like, they're going to be way up here on the 9-10s, and I'm going to be like,
yeah.
I was like, I wonder what the skill is. Is it 0 or 1? I'm like, okay, well, 1 or 2. I mean, it just didn't do anything for me.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, we're like the, oh, and she's just like, yeah, and? Like,
yeah.
Well, duh, we knew this. Like, come on.
I mean, you should have known my answer to that one, Melissa.
I know, but I love to hear it every time. It just cracks me up. Didn't really do anything for me. And we're over here going, oh, uh-huh. My hero. Just because, like, yeah, okay. Okay. This other scene that happened with Mo, like, totally made me laugh. So Mo was praying and then realized he nodded off and picked back up saying, sorry about that, Lord. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I can't do this. I want her, and I'm terrified of her, or of what she could do to me. So, please tell me I'm not the only one that
guilty.
Can relate. Yes, thank
guilty.
You. I started laughing. I was like, this makes me feel better. I've done that so many times, it's not even funny.
You know, it fits, though. Like, in the Bible, you were supposed to pray. Think about God when you lay down, when you get up, you wear him, and it's like, hey, you know, fell asleep, up, still praying. It's,
I know.
Yes.
Okay, but where is, like, the craziest place you've nodded off? Like, while praying?
Oh, honestly, probably would have to be on scene, like, on a longer scene. We have some ones that take longer, and
oh, yeah.
There's times when you're there a long time, so. I think one time I was sitting on the boat and I'm just sitting up leaning against like the little stick thing. Mm-hmm. And you're saying a prayer because you want a good outcome. And yeah. I know I fell asleep because I about fell off the boat because that little stick was not.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, I'm tired. It was like, yeah.
How long were you out there?
Oh, my goodness. I think for that one, we got paged out at like 9 a.m. and we didn't get back until 3:30 in the afternoon. But we had a call before the night before. So we were out.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Mine's normally I'm sitting up or I'm laying down and I'm praying, kind of like Mo was doing. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait. Yeah, where was I at? What was I doing?
I will say the older I get, though, it happens more, especially at, like when you sit down at night. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, it's, you know, 6 o'clock. It's not bedtime, but.
Yeah, but you're like nodding off. Mm-hmm. That's funny you say that because I was always like, I felt like Dad was always nodding off. And I'm like, how does he just do that? And then you turn the channel and he goes, I was watching that. I'm like, no, you were
not.
Watching the back of your eyelids.
Oh, trust
Dad.
Me, Emma would be with him. I was sitting on Papal's lap talking to him and he fell asleep. Like, he just nods off. She would tell me that. And I'm like, yeah, but even Grandpa did that. They'd be sound asleep in chat. I'm like, I'm not watching the stupid sports or whatever. I was watching that. No, you weren't. I've been sitting here watching you sleep.
I think it's definitely an older guy trait.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's, yeah.
It cracks me up. I don't remember Mom sitting down and dozing like that.
But Dad does it.
Yeah. that is funny that he did it while Emma was talking to him.
Yeah. She was sitting in his lap and he dozed off. Well, and he's dozed off before and forgot to go pick up the kids because he slept through it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's done that before. Yeah.
I have seen him like Bella, but then him and Bella are in the chair. Bella's on his lap like this. He's like holding her like this. And he's out, and she's out. Like, oh, my word, Dad. Babysitting grandkids, wore him out. Mm-hmm. He's probably like, oh, good, she's asleep. I'm going to nap with her.
Nap while you can.
All right. Now, here's a line that I think circles back to, it really shows Mo's family when we talk about, like, they take everybody in. They're very loving. So it says, Mo's dad stood. I couldn't be prouder of the whole bunch of you. I know only two of you are mine by birth and two of you are by blood, but Jackie and I have claimed all of you, sons, daughters, nieces, and nephews, cousins, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're all Quinns at heart. So how did you react to that line?
I didn't read it.
It made me happy.
That's right. Jessica didn't get to finish because Jessica was like Mo and fell asleep while reading.
Yeah.
Instead of praying, she was reading. I cried a little because, and this is my favorite line and scene in the book, because I think it's the type of family everyone longs for.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have it, you realize the significance of it. Like, I have it. I have that.
Yeah.
That isn't something, like, not what I'm saying, but it's like, when you don't have it, you really long for it, and when you see it, it's like it might hurt a little bit. When you do have it and you see it portrayed somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you just realize how truly blessed you are,
yeah.
especially with this book when you have a character that comes from such a loving family and then one from not, and you see the total
mm-hmm.
difference between the two. And then it makes me want to be like a Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like we already have that, but like, could we be more?
Mm-hmm.
Could we be more loving? Could we, you know, whatnot? So that was my favorite scene
yeah.
in line in the book.
Even not just the loving part, like, because it doesn't always have to be like you don't have it, like mm-hmm. completely. Like maybe you did have, like, oh, I saw my daughter, like.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So my dad passed when I was 23. So just not having that for a long time. And then mm-hmm. it's kind of funny. I go to Tractor and like your dad kind of was the dad. There.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's just it's such a blessing. Families
yeah.
like that. Because even if regardless if you've never had it,
right.
Or if you just don't have it now. People,
right.
families like your guys' family, like, good job, guys. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
It's heartwarming. Like not to,
yeah.
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 Like feeling that you have that connection with other people. Like
mm-hmm.
knowing that you don't have to be blood for someone to love you like family.
Right. Right. That's mm-hmm. That's what I love about it. Yeah. Yeah, not all family is made through blood, right?
No.
Made by choice. So, all right. So, did you guys have a favorite line or scene? I kind of shared mine, but.
I had a hard time picking one. So, I'm pretty sure it was around the same conversation when Mo's dad is trying to address, he calls it Bronwyn's family, and he stops. He's like, yeah, they don't deserve that title. And it just, that warmed my heart.
Mm.
But the other ones that I could. I'm not going to spoil that, but Meredith, when they're in the coffee shop, her mm-hmm. conversation about the coffee shop and what people should be doing or not and caffeinating.
Yeah.
But my top one is when she runs into her uncle at night and there's a mention of brushing his teeth before he speaks to people.
I
laughed out loud.
Matter of fact. I was like, oh my gosh, what? Ew, gross.
Oh my gosh. Grab a mint or brush your teeth before dealing with the guests. I was like,
I forgot about that.
I forgot all about it.
That one was. Oh, and he like, then he just went after, like, I'm not done with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, and then Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mo's keep
like,
that hand.
mm-hmm. All right, and then let's just talk about what faith theme or scripture or wisdom stood out to you in this novel. So I will tell you two things that stood out to me, and that was forgiveness and redemption,
because mm-hmm.
I felt like it was just a beautiful picture of how God can redeem all those messes we create with those bad choices. Because, like, let's face it, Bronwyn didn't make a very good choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it became a really bad mess. But he can turn them around and use them for our good and his glory. And then I love that he can take what the enemy meant to harm us, like, mm-hmm. to use to harm us, and then uses it again for his good. And it still comes with consequences, mm-hmm. but it always turns out good.
Yes.
Like, she had to face those consequences. Unfortunately, her loved ones had to, too. Like, Mo had to go through the pain with her because of it. So, yeah, sin never just affects you. It's everyone around you. But I love, because I feel like it really just showed, like, this abundance of grace and forgiveness, and then redeeming this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you made a really bad mistake here, but I can fix it.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't know. That's what, that's kind of what stood out to me in this one. I was curious for you guys on that faith part. Like, I think what stood out.
Definitely forgiveness was the biggest thing. It's like, regardless of time, regardless of anything, like, forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that kept kind of running through my head was, you know, God works all things for our good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though all of that was there and the consequences and everything, everything comes together.
He does.
Has a plan, and we learn from it and we grow from it. And I mean, who's to say if she hadn't run off, like, all of these things, her family, maybe her family's still running things, or it makes you wonder, God sees the big picture. So that stuck in my mind.
Yeah. And he knew she was going to do that, right? So it's like, he's always moving things.
Yes.
Right? And making it work. Anything for you, Jessica? Because I know you didn't get to finish it all the way.
I mean, I got most of it done. So
yeah.
I would probably say forgiveness, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Okay, so let's do our ratings then. Okay. What would you give the mystery level in this? And I should pause for anyone who's new to the podcast. We rate these on using coffee. So we say, and it's not based on caffeine level of coffee. It's based on the name. Okay. So so espresso means there's just an expression of it. There's very little of it. A mocha means there's a medium amount. And latte means there's a lot. All right. So here we go, ladies. Mystery level. I went mocha.
Mocha. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. I think we can agree on that. What about the suspense?
Latte.
See, you went latte. And I think if Tiff was here, she would have gone latte. But I'm thinking mocha.
Yeah.
Mm.
But so a mocha to a latte. Yeah. Depends on your preference. Which is why we all never truly land on the same rating. Yeah. And that's okay. Because a lot of people who listen probably identify as, like, a reader like Jamie and I, or a reader like you, or a reader like Tiff.
Yeah.
When Tiff's on, or Mom when she's on. All right. What about inspiration level?
Say espresso.
Espresso.
See, I went mocha.
Really?
Yeah. It's very well woven in, but I also felt like there was a lot of some deep stuff there. But so mocha to espresso, or espresso, sorry, to mocha. All right. Drama level.
I'm going to say a latte. That's a lot of family drama.
Yeah, I did latte too. There's so much family drama in that. What about romance?
Well, a latte.
Oh, Jamie's shocking me.
I mean, it's
over
not
there.
Necessarily my romance. I know there's other books where that's not a latte, but I think for the book, it just, the underlying romance, like the looks, the
little things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was just everywhere.
What do you think?
Maybe a mocha.
See, I went mocha too. But remember, my level of latte for romance is Julie Lesman's level of romance, right? So,
Jessica's seen my books. So I'm not going to answer that part of it. But yeah. I have to have two different scales sometimes.
Okay. So I get where you're coming from, Jamie, because I've read some of those too. And that's totally different.
It's way different.
So. But for this genre, I always, like, compare it to Julie's books because I think hers are latte.
Yeah.
So I went mocha on this one.
It was hard to decide because it's not like it was full-on romance, but it was just that constant throughout the whole book, like, the looks, like, the connection that they had was just...
Yeah. No, that's
fair. You want to smack them in the head, like,
that's
come on.
Fair.
Okay, don't spoil this for me, but I just thought, I remember the looks. I remember the look. But, like, remember the Chinese checkers board? Does that come into play at the end?
Perhaps.
Okay. Because I liked how that he noticed it, and then, like, the...
They start playing.
Yeah. I'm going to finish the book, but I thought that was... I liked how when he was in her house, he noticed a lot of little things.
Yeah.
That she had, like, the pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very observant, but he is a former Army intelligence officer, so that's his... I mean, he's been very well trained for that, too. Which, by the way, Lynn does such great research on that to make sure she's accurate in those things. So she did a really good job. Now, I wouldn't know if she's accurate because I'll be honest, I don't know anything about that stuff. So anyways, overall lasso rating.
Three.
I gave it three as well, but I think it's very well written. Lynn's books always are. But with it being the last in the series, I think it really hooks and hog ties you because you're like, finally, you know, like you get the ending to it all. We are not going to do a spoiler alert section on this one. Generally, at this point, with our new setup, because Jamie, this is your first time with us for this new setup. And so we've been stopping and saying, like, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, then stop now. We aren't going to do that with this one because Jessica didn't get to finish and I don't want to ruin it for her. So I just highly recommend the whole series. And if you haven't read it, obviously don't start with this one because it's the last one. Head back. And like I said, I will put the first two books and their episodes in this blog post as well. But we finally made it, ladies. We wrapped up Gossamer Falls.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy how she tied everything up at the end of the series?
Yeah. I'm not quite there yet, so I can't answer
that. Okay, okay. Jessica will be getting there tonight as she falls asleep with the book again.
Yes.
Okay?
I'll have to let you guys know what I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, anyone who's just now discovering the series, you're in for a great treat. It's going to be a great read all the way through, and you're lucky because it's all out. And so you'll get to read straight through. You can binge read if you want, which is awesome. And like I said, I'll put the our links to the other episodes where we talk about the first two books in the post for this episode. So if you want to go back, you can do that. And while you're on the website at literaryescape.com, you can check out our book club, which we're really excited to start building that up. So you can be a member for $7 a month. Or for $70 for the year. And we have some fun things that we are working out to have over there for you guys to sit down and actually chat with us about books, which I'm super excited about. All right. Well, we just greatly appreciate you spending time with us today. And just head on out there into the weekend and happy and blessed reading.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.